Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 32, the second paragraph, starting with the eighth sentence, "Out came his carpet slippers and a bottle," through the remainder of the paragraph ending "quickly and was dead within 4 years," and we'll be commenting on those remaining sentences there in that paragraph. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Dorita P., 12 Traditions, Courtney J. Readers of the text, Leslie M., Alex K., and Julie E. B. The reference number for Tuesday, April 21st, is 23,386. That's 23386. And for this morning, Wednesday, April 22nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,390. That's 23390. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Kathleen W., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers." At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Dorita P. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dorita P. And I'll now ask Courtney J. to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Courtney, compulsive overeater in North Carolina. The 12 traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. To the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. OA should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me read.
Thank you so much, Courtney J. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. We read a paragraph or two from our literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing and to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 32, that second paragraph, the eighth sentence. Out came his slippers and a bottle. Through the remainder of that paragraph ending quickly and was dead within 4 years. And we'll be commenting on those sentences today. I will now ask Leslie M. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Out came his carpet slippers in a bottle. In 2 months, he was in a hospital, puzzled and humiliated. He tried to regulate his drinking for a while, making several trips to the hospital meantime. Then, gathering all his forces, he attempted to stop altogether and found he could not. Every means of solving his problem, which money could buy, was at his disposal. Every attempt failed. Though a robust man at retirement, he went to pieces quickly and was dead within 4 years. This paragraph is a very cautionary tale for me. I've been around in OA for a very long time. It's 36 years this year. But I kept throwing myself at the problem, and that's what this reminds me of. You know, it says he tried to regulate his drinking. You know, he attempted to stop altogether, and I did that. I did that for 28 years in the program, doing it my way. You know, and finally, it says, you know, every attempt failed. You know, he found he could not. And so finally, you know, I was lucky enough to know about OA, to be coming to this meeting, hearing the solution, hearing the problem, hearing the solution. And therefore, I finally surrendered to the process. And that was all I could do at the time, even though I knew about program. I've been around a long time. I just said, all right, I'm going to do this and I'm going to trust the process, you know. And I said to myself, if it doesn't work, I need to get entirely abstinent and I need to do, you know, follow directions. One thing I used to hear all the time is I'm going to learn how to say yes, ma'am, instead of yes, but, because that's what I always said. Well, I've been around for 28 years. I know everything, right? But what happened was is I just said, okay, I'm just going to follow directions in the book. Do what my sponsor asked me to do. And if it doesn't work when I get to the end, that will have been okay, because at least I will have given it my all. And I had never done that before. You know, it was always, I don't have to do that, or, you know, pick and choose what I wanted to do. I didn't follow the whole process through. And what do you know? When I got entirely abstinent and I followed the directions, you know, I got recovered. And that was the great, that is the single greatest thing that has ever happened to me in my life. But I'm grateful that I had a program to go to, you know, that I knew that, you know, finally learned, although a stubborn case, I am, you know, that I finally learned that I could not do it myself, that working harder, longer, stronger, whatever, there was something in my life that I couldn't do. And controlling the food, stopping eating altogether, was not in my wheelhouse, and I had to give it over to the power greater than myself. And that's one thing I remember shortly after I got recovered, someone at a face-to-face meeting said to me, you know, what did you do? And I said, oh, I didn't do this. This has been done to me, you know, and I'm very grateful to remember that. And he said he was humiliated, and I have to remember to stay humble or I'm going to be in that humiliated place. And that's all I've got for you today. Thanks. With that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Leslie M. Beautiful way to get this meeting started. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on the second half of this paragraph today?
Regina.
I heard a Regina. And was that Julie E.B.?
Yes.
Okay, you're kind of muffled, Julie. I don't know if there's a way that you can make it a little more clear there so we can hear you a little better. But I have Regina. What was your initial, Regina?
V, like Victor.
Oh, perfect. Okay, very good. And who else?
Jessica C.
Jessica C, perfect. And who else would like to share? Okay, in the interest of time, we'll go. Oh, go ahead. Was that someone?
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Perfect. Okay, I've got Regina V., Julie E. B., Jessica C., and Nancy L. Regina, please go ahead, get us started, and please let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Yes, I'm calling from California. And my name is Regina V., a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. Thank you so much. You know, in the paragraph, it talked about how, you know, like, it was his own will. He never, ever thought about, you know, like, there's a higher power, right? And I'm not in charge. And all my life, my whole entire life, you know, the concept of turning it over to a higher power or turning it over, surrendering, or just, I'm not in charge, God is, you know, like they say, thy will, not mine be done. That was a foreign concept to me. And so even though I was in a 12-step program for 4 years, I was a good weight. You know, I was 136. I had been 187. I lost like 50 pounds. I looked great. But you know, when the sponsor that I had at the time told me about step three and, you know, making a decision to turn my will and my life over to God, I didn't understand that. That was a foreign concept. And it's taken a while. It's taken like 3 years, 4 years for me to now be at a place in my life where I'm ready to do whatever it takes to stay abstinent. And if that means my sponsor, you know, says do this, do that, I do it, and I even do extra. Like she said, just go to one meeting, you know, one meeting a day, and I go to two, one in the morning and one in the evening, because I just really want to have a psychic change, and that's what I tell a lot of people. I want my life to be transformed, and when it was my will, it was misery, and I see that now. I see that now. So, you know, what I got out of the paragraph, I'm sure there's a lot of it, but it was that it was always him. I'm in charge. I can do this. And that's how I used to think. Anyway, thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Regina V. from California. Julie E.B., it's your turn to share, followed by Jessica C.
Hi, Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. And I'm really grateful to have this recovery. But this disease is so cunning, baffling, and powerful. And it tells me that maybe I've deserved a break. And out come the carpet slippers and the things I used to rely on, like myself. And it's just so easy, you know. Changes come in life, you know, post-menopause, back injury, different things going on in my life, struggles in the family. And I think, well, you know, these are hard, you know. Maybe I deserve just to take a break, you know. It's worked for 9 years, but maybe I can decide now and do a little of this or a little of that. Or my physical therapist says, no exercise. Well, exercise bulimia, what's that? You know, maybe I can push a little harder. And thankfully, God does for me what I can't do for myself. And even though I try to regulate and gather all my forces, I move back to my higher power where I'm powerless. And it's either the best thing that happens to me today or the worst. Today, powerless is the best thing. The fact that I'm powerless means I don't have any decisions to make. I just get to go ahead and minute by minute, hour by hour, turn to my higher power, my food plan, my abstinence, working this program, using steps 10, 11, and 12, reaching out. Every day I have the gift and practicing accepting the things I can't change. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie E.B. from Colorado. All right, Jessica C., it's your turn to share, followed by Nancy L. And just a quick reminder, we're talking about page 32 today, that second paragraph, beginning with the eighth sentence that starts with, out came his carpet slippers and a bottle, through the remainder of that paragraph, ending with quickly and was dead within 4 years. And we're commenting on that, those last sentences in that paragraph. So Jessica C., followed by Nancy L., and then I'll be taking some more names. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi, Dawn. Good morning. Am I still unmuted?
You sure are.
Oh, okay, great. This is Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. I also really related to the first sentence about taking out the carpet slippers and the bottle after a long career and a long period of discipline. I can have that dishonest thought that the goal is comfort and escape and retreating from the world. And that is what is going to bring me, that's going to be edifying and satisfying. But that's just so untrue. It's so untrue. It's so distorted. For me, definitely food led to, though it gave me that quick escape, it led to demoralization, and it would have definitely led to death. For me, it can happen so quickly. Thank you, God. I have 5 years of recovered abstinence, but I can still from compulsive eating, but I can still seek that comfort and escape and still believe in that dishonest thought that's what is best for me. And this entitlement, I get this sense of entitlement from the man of 30. Like, I've worked really hard. I've been sober the whole time. This is what I deserve. I deserve this. And gosh, it's such an untruth, because whenever I, you know, become unconscious, whenever I choose comfort over sticking with God, even though it can be painful and challenging, it doesn't take very long before I feel really unpeaceful and I'm doing things I regret. So it's just so untrue that I just want to get to the end so I can get my prize and escape. And I'm learning more and more that it's really about not working really hard to get to the prize and the ease and comfort at the end, but it's about trudging, doing those daily actions to check in with God. And like it was just shared, like it's often a moment by moment exercise for me, constantly checking in. And, you know, when I do that, I do feel peace. And that's the real reward, is peace instead of momentary escape, a momentary, which can quickly lead to demoralization. So, trudging, not going for the glory, you know.
Time.
Thank you. And just experiencing that new freedom and new happiness. So I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. Nancy L., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Well, thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, 100-pounder by God's grace and mercy. I am maintaining this weight one day at a time. Yeah, there was a time where I had that fierce determination. I was just tired of being overweight. That's all there was to it. And so for 2 solid years, I did my pay and weigh thing, and I worked in, as hard as I could, and I got 3/4 of my weight off, a great deal amount of weight. And I got the hurrahs and good job. You look how long it took you. You'll keep it off for sure now. And not only that, you come to work for us. We know you'll keep it off because you can't gain weight and work for us. So I did all that. Took 2 years to get it off. Went to work for them. And little by little, those diet desserts started calling to me. And I kept thinking, wow, I've been doing so good. I can have a little bit of that and a little bit of this. And the next thing you know, the weight's coming on with a vengeance. Oh, I'm so grateful that my higher power mentioned OA. I just heard it one day when I was getting ready to make plans to end my life. And I thought, I wonder if that OA thing is still out there. I went when I was like 25 years old, and I went 2 times and never came back, and went and got on the yellow pages, if some of you know what those were back then, and I started my OA journey. I'm so grateful to be recovered today, one day at a time. And the best thing about it is I get to pass it on to other people. I get to sponsor, take people through the 12 steps. I don't have any more weight to lose, but the joy of watching them recover, whether it's weight gain or weight loss, some of us are way underweight, I guess. The recovery is so beautiful. I love to share it with others. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. While we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on the last portion of this paragraph there?
Joy in California.
I heard Joy, and what was your initial Joy?
M-B.
M-B, okay.
Kathy
P. I'm sorry, one more time?
Kathy P.
Margaret O.
Okay, I heard Kathy P, and I heard Margaret O.
Janet
Kathy
P.
M.
And I heard Janet.
Janice P.M., yep, you got
Janice
it.
Janice P.M., perfect, thank you.
You're welcome.
Kathy
and
M.
Was that Kathy M?
Kathy M.
Yes. Okay, Kathy M, perfect. So let me tell you who I have. I have Joy M.B., Kathy P., Margaret O., Janice P.M., Kathy M. Anyone else? All right, well, that's a beautiful lineup. Joy M.B., go ahead and please share with us. Your 3 minutes starts now.
May I be heard?
You sure can.
Thank you so much for your service. And I'm so grateful for this vision family. I am trying to be in recovery, and I wouldn't be without visions. All of my life, I sought ways of getting rid of my 100 pounds, and I got rid of it. Absolutely. Gain weight, walk around nude in the doctor's office, drink the urine of who? Being the little square brown things you eat supposedly before each meal. I ate one box of them the first night I got them. There is no description to the number and the location of Overeaters Anonymous meetings that I attended in San Francisco. No loft left unturned. No garage. No basement. No freezing room. And yet, it didn't work. My grandmother taught me to read by reading the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Did I get that concept? I did not. Did I understand that the blue book was, the big book is the cornerstone of this program? Nobody said so. I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid at all. Intellect has nothing to do with this. I had to get up to 360 pounds with congestive heart failure, my right leg splitting, everything you can name, before it dawned on me. And I discovered visions in 2019, and I just listened at first. I just attended two meetings a day, no matter what. And with that came the recovery that I didn't know was possible. I'm so grateful to this program. I have a new way of life, a new way of thinking. It has given me absolutely everything. And yet, I see the temptations are there still to believe that I could do this for myself. Oh my goodness, it says. How long since you've had a slice of? Well, you deserve it now. But I know better. I am old enough to know better. Been there, done that. Been to the brink. Don't want to go back anymore, dear Lord. Not going back. And for that, I pass. Thank you. Thank you again for this meeting.
Thank you, MB from California. Kathy P., it's your turn to share, followed by Margaret O. And please let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Hey, it's Kathy T., T as in Thomas, Kathy with a C, and I'm calling from Central Illinois. Very grateful to be here, gratefully recovered, my goodness. You know, the first thing that so much, of course, pops out at you with this passage, but the slippers. Okay, I'm a big fan of slippers. I have lots of pink fuzzy slippers, but to me, those equal comfort, and that's where I start to slide. Get a little bit comfortable. Maybe I don't need this today. Been in this program for about 6 years, and I don't want to go back. Do not ever. And it's not for me. It's not so much about the weight, but it's about, gosh, how I lived, and I can slip right back into that comfort. You know, somebody's, I deserve this. You know, every once in a while, I don't know, my husband and I were out for dinner the other night, and, you know, pieces on the menu, just, wow, doesn't that look good every once in a while? And he's in a 12-step program as well. But yes, but no, harsh no. And I also heard the word trudge here, and that's exactly what this is. You know, it's easy to slip into that comfort and say, I deserve this. Oh yeah, but you've been at it for 6 years, you know, and I see a therapist, just for general life purposes. And and she referred me to OA. She got me in here, and and she's an addiction specialist, let's say, cause she is, you really going to do this forever? You really do this forever? Is it, you think it's really realistic to just not do those things, not have those things for the rest of your life? And I started to cry. I'm like, wait a second, girl, you got me into this program. And I said, no, you know what, just for today, no, this is what today looks like. Hopefully, God willing, no, never, but just for today. And I will trudge this road. But I live a peaceful life now, and I would not trade this. And the other thing that kind of so much pops out, gathered all my forces. Like, I get comfortable with those slippers, but then forces, you know, that sounds kind of militaristic to me, but if that's what it takes, yeah. And God is at the head of all that. So, he was dead in 4 years. Yeah, I could do that. Absolutely. all my devices, all my addictions, absolutely. So I choose this. I choose this. This program has given me, like was previously stated, has given me absolutely everything, more than I could have imagined. So very grateful for my recovery. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you, Kathy T. from Illinois. Margaret O., it's your turn now, followed by Janice P.M.
Good morning. Margaret O. from Connecticut. Thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone who does service to keep this meeting happening. This is HP speaking right to me today. Today would have been 30 days of abstinence for me. And I had a slip last night. And it's like, okay, here we are, back to square one, back to 1, 2, 3. I mean, I'm working 10, 11, and 12. And it's just, you know, I'm not having sugar. And the feelings are more intense. And I need practice at feeling them. I have an emotional nature. And the strange thing is, yesterday I did a lot of prayer and meditation, and I do every day. Service, I make 3 calls a day. I go to meetings. I did a 10th step yesterday. I was crying when I was giving it away. I just, you know, it's so tricky because I don't really have a thought like, hey, I deserve this. And it's abstinent food. It's just food that I haven't committed. And I just, it's not a thought. It's like being thrown into water and you just start treading water. It just starts happening. I sit down with a box of crackers that are abstinent. I sit down, you know, it's like, okay, just do this for 10, unbridled eating for 10 minutes. I mean, I'm just saying it's disappointing for sure. And, you know, Christ died. I mean, he fell 3 times on the way to Calvary. And that's what came to me this morning. I went to daily mass and I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you forgive me. I need to forgive myself. And at the same time though, the gold standard, and I don't want to have that as an excuse like, hey, you know, hey, it's a default. It's old behavior. Once in a while, it's not going to kill you. Oh, no. That's the disease talking. And my gold standard is squeaky clean abstinence and turning it over. God's running the show. I'm not in the driver's seat. He's the chess player. I'm just a piece on the board. All of that, I am all in. But I'm going to say that, you know, these things, it's just that old behavior, the old delusion is what it is. It's just I don't know. Anyway, my character defects are way up. And I did text my sponsor this morning and told her all this. And she's very supportive and, you know, just, hey, there's a crack in the foundation is basically what she said, you know. So I just got to keep turning it over, keep doing the walk in the walk. But it's why I'm here today. And I'm just speaking the truth and, you know, being honest. So thanks for your support.
Ah, thank you so much, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Janice P.M., it's your turn to share, followed by Kathy M. And just a quick reminder for everyone, we're talking about page 32, that second paragraph, beginning with the 8th sentence, out came his carpet slippers and a bottle, through the remainder of that paragraph that ends with quickly and was dead within 4 years. And we're commenting on those final sentences there in that paragraph. So Janice, please share, followed by Kathy M.
And thank you so much for your service. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater one day at a time. This is one of the lessons that Bill is writing. Is going to give us some other examples, and they're all going to show the same thing that was wrong with me. And it's not wrong, that's my disease. You know, and this reminds me again of the truth about compulsive overeating. What is the truth? What is the truth? Okay, I've been taught that the truth is if you don't pick up your craving foods that produces the phenomenon of craving, you won't get the craving. Okay, that's pretty good to understand. So here we are, the man of 30. He had a long period of sobriety. But what was his failure? Well, like myself, we don't know it. I didn't think it, but I always have a because I haven't just come in this program and got, you know, struck abstinent and recovered very shortly. It took a long time. My real problem was my mind. What do you mean, my mind? I'm pretty good. I was successful, like this man. And, you know, I planned my plans. You know, most of them come out good, except with my eating problem. Well, I couldn't stay stopped, no matter how long. I mean, I was clean for a year, you know, and all that. Then I thought, see what happens? The thought comes before picking up the bite. Now we say, oh no, that's not it. It's the craving. Well, yeah, it is the craving, but it's the premeditation. It comes before picking it up. This is what the action really is. And that's hard to understand because we say, why isn't it the craving? Well, the craving comes from the substance. But the meditation and my plans, when to eat, when not to eat, why to eat, no to eat, my plans, all about me, is a premeditation to a decision all the time. I always had I guess sometimes we did pick up not having any reason. Well, I don't know. It had to be way back because it just doesn't start like that. And, okay, so he planned his plan, like my plan. When I retire, oh, I'll have the time. I don't have to worry about getting up early. I can, you know, tend to my program. 2 months he was in the hospital, and he was puzzled like I had been, or like I was, and humiliated. Time. Well, okay, so therefore, I'm just going to finish and wrap up by saying, there is nothing that can help my mind except a spiritual solution with a spiritual doctor whom I call God to give me surgery on my mind through the 12 steps. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Kathy M., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking a couple more names.
Hi, Kathy M., compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can.
Oh, goody. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all who do service. And I feel like everything I was going to say has already been said, but I guess that's a good thing. But anyway, you know, I wasn't abstinent for 25 years, but I was, a successful dieter until the day came when I wasn't successful anymore, and luckily my higher power put my Ebby in my life, and I went to OA, and I knew it was where I belonged, and I had a good little plink cloud, and I followed directions, and I took all the suggestions, and I lost weight, and I was pretty happy, and then the pink cloud wore off, and I was left with me, and the mental obsession, and at which point, again, my higher power put people in my life that it steered me to this program and to this phone call meeting, and through here, I found people that took me through the book, and, you know, I have 3 decades of sobriety in another program, but I had never done the book, I had never gone through the steps in the book before, and it just opened up my eyes and gave me a whole new relationship with a higher power that I realized that I hadn't used for a long, long, long time, especially concerning my food. And that higher power had to develop a lot over the past few years, because little by slow, I take my will back, and then I go, oops, I'm doing it again. And I'm going to keep coming, and I'm going to keep listening, and I'm going to keep on trucking. So thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Thank you, Kathy M. from Massachusetts. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us on these sentences today?
Aaron G.
Aaron
Veronica
G.
B.
Veronica B.
Susanna A.
WW.
And Susanna, was that Susanna A?
Yes.
Okay, and Debbie, please come back tomorrow. I don't believe we're going to have time for you, but we would love to hear you share, so please do come back. But Aaron G., please share, followed by Veronica B.
Hi, good morning. Thank you, and this is Aaron G. from New York. And thank you, everybody, because you helped me so much, because the voice of God comes through you all. And the carpet slippers, I'm keeping, throwing the bottle and the food away, and put myself in God's loving arms. And I look to Him for comfort now. And He's so good to me. He's so good to me. And He puts all of you in my path. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Aaron G. from New York. Veronica B., it's your turn to share, followed by Susanna A.
Hi, I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater for today in California. And thank you for your service. So good to be on the line today. You know, this chapter is all about, you know, the progression, and, you know, thank God that I know there's a way out today. When I was in my disease of compulsive overeating, you know, like, it didn't matter what was going on in the day. I always used food to change my perception of things. You know, I would have a thought, and then I would always go to the food, even though I really didn't want to go to the food. I didn't want to binge and throw up. I really, really didn't want to do that behavior. You know, it was a hard life, and a big secret that I was keeping. You know, this double life that I was living, this dishonest life that I was living. And I had so much self-loathing because of it. And I just could not stop. Once I started eating my alcoholic foods, I just could not stop eating them. You know, I would say, today I'm going to stop, and then, you know, I would get upset, or I would be bored, or any excuse, I would eat, and I would use food, and then I would go and get rid of it. And let me tell you, it was exhausting living that way. It was so exhausting, and I thought that I was going to die until I came to OA in 2009, and I started my journey here. And I got really busy, No Rears Anonymous. I got a sponsor. That sponsor guided me through the 12 steps, and then I started sponsoring. And I have not done this program perfectly. I discovered Vision during COVID, and that's when I got another sponsor, started working the steps. And most recently, I just restarted my time. And these steps will just change your life. So I thank you. With that, I pass.
Oh, Veronica B. from California. Susanna A., it's your turn to share. And please let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Hi, good morning. I'm Susanna A. from Southern California. Recovered compulsive overeater just for today. Thank you so much. So this passage, what it was really bringing to mind for me is, like, you never get to graduate. I have a brain that wants to really compartmentalize. I want to complete things. I want the gold star. I want it, you know, to be wrapped up in a neat little bow, a pretty package. And the reality is, this is like a continuum. And it's a continual journey of, you know, seeking connection and connection with my higher power. And I realized too, when it says within 4 years, he was dead. But I think within, whenever I take that first compulsive bite or I take in an alcoholic food substance, like I am cutting myself off from my source. I'm cutting myself off from the people I love, my family. I'm cutting myself off from myself and my connection to my higher power, because that blocks me. And it starts the cycle all over again. And it is a cycle of loss and death, like death of self. And you know, what I need is that surrender. And when I have the surrender, I know I'm not alone, and I am connected, and I have a source of comfort, and I have a place to go, like a refuge, right? I can take peace in that. And it's been just a really amazing gift. And this reminds me, too, it's just to allow myself that space and the pause. So much of this is like spaciousness and pause instead of being reactive or reactionary or grasping. And I'm so grateful for that. And it's a process, right? It takes time. But allow yourself, I had to allow myself that time too. But thank you so much. I hope everybody has a beautiful Wednesday. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Susanna A. from California. And we do have a couple minutes. If the person who I said we wouldn't have time for and to come back, could you please unmute and take this time?
WW.
Was that WW? Yeah. Please
yes.
Go ahead. Yeah, wonderful. Please share. We have got about
okay.
a minute and a half.
I can do it. When I first came into the program, I thought, oh, sure, I'll do this program until I get really old. And when I get really old, then I'll just go back to my old ways. Well, guess what? I'm getting really old. So when am I supposed to stop doing the program and go back to my old ways? Well, the more I'm in the program, the less I want to go back to my old ways, because they do not serve me. And this way of life is the best for me. I put God first. I have a program to work. I have people to help. I have people who help me. It's just beyond, beyond. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Perfect timing. Absolutely perfect. Thank you so much, WW, for sharing and for closing out this beautiful meeting. And we're now going to continue. Please stick around if you're new. We're going to allow newcomers a chance to announce their names and numbers. But now we're going to be reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Alex K. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, everyone. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.